It all came back. I wasted my time. Granted, I worked on it then. Granted, maybe I was different for a while, but now it's a year later and I'm back to the same point I started. The whole thing was a wasted exercise. First of all, I want you to understand it's not true. It's not how midos work. In fact, if you want to know how they really work, I have a very simple example. If you imagine a piece of driftwood out in the ocean, and a wave comes and brings that driftwood in, and then before you know it, the wave ends and the undertow takes the wood back out, but not quite as far back as it started. Then the next wave comes and brings the driftwood in closer, and again, the undertow takes it back out, but again, not quite as far. Step by step, wave by wave, until the driftwood lands on the shore. That's how much of Avodas Hashem is involved. You'll work on anger, and what that means is you spend 2 weeks, a month working on it, and you'll make great improvements. And then you leave it. You switch to another topic. And it's true that somewhat you'll recede. Maybe your temper comes back a little bit, but never as bad as it was. And then when you revisit it the next time around, whether it be after a year, after 6 months, you start from a different point, and you bring it forward to a different point. So you should know that no matter what the area is, you don't begin at first base, you begin at a much advanced point. And ultimately, if a person does that through all the midos and all the various things, you grow level after level, year after year. How long does it take? It takes a lifetime. That's why Hashem gave us 70 years. But if a person continues at it, they grow and improve, and they're a different human being after a year, after 5 years, after 10 years. That being said, though, I believe that there's one Musar exercise that a person can do that covers so many of all of the concepts of the Shmuzim and all of the concepts of Musar and all of the concepts that we work on. In fact, if you'd like to ask me, what is the single greatest Musar exercise that a Jew can do? It's something called davening. And I want to describe to you what a tefillah should be like. And I want to show you how many concepts we hit upon. Let's imagine that a Jew davens as he should. You start with the Birchas HaShachar, you start with the Brachas in the morning, and you say, before you begin davening, you review in your mind Shmuz 4 and Shmuz 5. And what that means is, Hashem, you gave me hands with which to feel, you gave me legs with which to walk, I can stand up, I can stand strong. I was driving into Brooklyn last night, and I stopped at a red light, and a guy whizzed by me, whizzed right by, as fast as anything, in his motorized wheelchair. How many times you wake up in the morning and say, wow, Hashem, you gave me legs with which to stand, a strong, straight back. I'm healthy and well. Pokeach Ivrim. I open my eyes and I see. And I see colors and I see beauty and I see the majesty of this world. Imagine if a Jew were to start his davening with that. And then he'd move into Psukei Dezimra. And he would chazer the entire Shmuz 32, bringing the wow back to nature, meaning seeing the 10 million diverse species of animals on this planet, from the giraffe to the bat, from the whale to the orangutan, down to the species of the million species or more of insects, and the 1.5 million species of flora. The diversity of this planet, a person who says Psukei Dezimra sees it, feels it, emotionally experiences it. And then you get to Baruch Hu, and you start the Birchas Kriya Shema. And if you pay attention to those words, what's described in those words are frightening. Huge groups of malachim, groups upon groups upon groups, who all have a moment to sing Shirat Hashem. Their entire groups who are malachai bazak, their entire groups that are lightning, entire groups that are fire, and they each get their chance to say Kadosh. And then after this experience, a person is ready to start Shemoneh Esrei. And the first cognition that a person comes to before he begins Shemoneh Esrei is, there is no one else in this world who can help me other than Hashem. In parnasa, in health, in success, in shalom bayis, in all the day-to-day activities, my pains, my worries, my troubles, it's all in Hashem's hand. And I, little me am now going to have a conversation, not with the CEO of General Electric, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the heavens and earth. I'm going to talk, mamish, like talking to my friend. But that's not enough yet. It's within each bracha, me'ein the bracha. It's within Shema Koleinu for anything, when a person makes those requests. And when a person says the words, Hashem, I need help. I really can't do it. Please help me. Gentlemen, that is the most powerful tefillah that brings a person to cling, to be dovek to Hashem. And it's in a certain sense, almost an out-of-body experience. It's a different human being. And after the conclusion, after the crescendo, what does a person do? He sits down in a chair, puts his arm on the table, and begins crying, saying the words that David HaMelech says. Now, gentlemen, I want you to hear very good what I'm saying. David HaMelech was the greatest of men, of the seven greatest human beings who walk this planet. And he said the words, Hashem, my bed is filled with my tears of regret. Do you think he was a loser? You think he didn't accomplish anything? What's pshat? I don't feel any such remorse. And David HaMelech, this great man, is crying. You know what the difference between David HaMelech and I? One thing. See, David HaMelech understood the hero shmuz very, very well. See, David HaMelech understood what he could be. And granted, he was a tzaddik of unimaginable proportions, but he understood how much more he could have been. He understood the potential of a human. He understood how great a human being could be, and he understood he wasn't quite there. Could you imagine if a person once in his life experienced the gamut of emotions of a dominant? So why doesn't it work? I once mentioned this before, but I'll repeat it. When my daughter was 12 years old, of all things, she got into something. As a father, I tried to be into whatever my kids are into. She became a Yankee fan. So I took my daughter to the Yankees, to the Yankee game. Now, it had been a long time for me. As a kid, I used to play sports, but I was never into spectator sports. And I was never in Yankee Stadium. I don't know if I was ever at a Major League Baseball game. And there I am, sitting there in the stands, and I got to be honest with you. The action part was great. It was a lot of fun. There was like a few seconds of action, and then like a lot of time. Like there was a few seconds of action, and then like a lot of time. And I'm sitting like, what? And that's just the bottom of the first inning. And we got eight more innings to go. Hashem Yerachem. This is like, I mean, this is, I know why the pitcher chews tobacco. He's got to stay awake. I mean, this thing is as slow as, and it happens to be Baruch Hashem. My daughter happened to have had a book with her. It was the biography of Derek Jeter. So I began reading between the action parts, which let me a lot of time to read. And it was one line in Derek Jeter's book that absolutely grabbed me.